It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
All right, welcome back into the drive. It is opening day, and the Astros are taking on the Mets. That gets started here in a little bit. We will keep you updated about that. But it is also the start of the Sweet 16. That gets going tonight. Some big, big matchups tonight. U of H gets started tomorrow on Friday as they are in the Sweet 16.
That's all right. All them Cougars fans can come on and jump on this old Razorback bandwagon, baby. How about them Hogs?
I'm sure that's what they'll do.
Look, everybody out there listening, they want a reason to root for somebody tonight. Hell, they're going to be watching basketball and drinking cold beer. They got to. Root for something? Come on over here, baby. We'll take you.
We've already had one guest who said they're going with the Red Raiders today.
That was Kunkel. He's a member of the media. I mean, he's pandering to the Texas University. He's pandering to that university in the state of Texas. I know what he's doing.
All right. Well, Sweet 16 tonight, and nobody better. And these cats right here, man. Founder of Field of 68. And if you're not following them or catching them every night, they are doing amazing work. And everybody's watching. I've been catching them obviously during the season, but it's always taken up a notch during the NCAA tournament. Rob Doster,
that was right.
Doster joins us. Rob, look, your Huskies are out, my Jayhawks are out, and Rob, I want to first, before we get going, let you know I appreciate you. You've talked me off the ledge a couple of times. I've messaged you about Hunter Dickinson and I've needed some help off the edge. By the way, thank God that those years are over for me. But I want to let you know I appreciate you to really helping me at times when I've been in a bad place with Kansas.
Well, look, I do anything I can to help my friends, man. I've been in dark places before too when it comes to fandom, sometimes you just need to remember, it's always good to get your ass beat a little bit, right?
That's right, man. You know, I've been hearing it from Clint as of course the committee put Kansas and Arkansas against each other in that first round of the tournament.
Well, Rob, look, I'm going to be honest with you, man. You know, that comment you just made about it's always good to get your ass kicked every now and then and bring you back down to earth. I mean, that holds true for all of us, but it definitely holds true to my man over here to my left with these Kansas City Chiefs and these Kansas Jayhawks and all these. I mean, getting that ass kicked for them, it's needed from time to time, no doubt.
Yeah, you've had like 4 championships in the last 5 years, man. What are you complaining about over there? You lose one time in the first round. Like, most of us struggle. Like, you get one championship for every team that you root for in like a decade, and that's a good decade. You won the national title in 2022. Chiefs won like 19 straight Super Bowls. I don't know what you're complaining about over there. But I will say this. I will say this. I know it's got to be hell going to work every day with Clint, knowing that you got to listen to him talk about Arkansas after they beat Kansas. I feel for you, man. I feel for you.
They've eliminated Kansas two out of the last 3 years. So, yes, it is it's very, very, very frustrating.
Got them in a bowl game a couple years ago, too, if you're wondering, right. Rob. Just put it out there.
Hey, Rob, before we get going into tonight, just from you, man, I guess it's been kind of unusual because it's really chalk. I mean, Arkansas, and you know all the talent that Calipari – first off, they have John Calipari as their coach. And then all the talent they have over there, that is the – and I'm in quotes saying the Cinderella of the group right now of the Final 16. Has this been, in your opinion, a good NCAA tournament thus far?
Well, first of all, Cinderella wears Armani this year, and I think that's something that we can all get behind. And I love the fact that Cal is the underdog here and the guy that's being counted out, because I feel like that's when he's at his best. You know, when he was at UMass, nobody thought he'd get to a Final Four, Marcus Camby. When he was at Memphis, nobody thought that this guy coming, you know, just got embarrassed in the NBA is going to come down here and do anything at Memphis, and he turned him into the best team in the country for a couple of years and made it to a national title game. If they can make some free throws, would have won a national title. But I think that this tournament has been – I like the tournaments where you get the big dogs in advance and you have these big boy matchups in the Sweet 16. Like, you look up and down today's schedule and tomorrow's schedule, and there's not a single bad game. And I like that more. You know, it's fun when you get one Cinderella. It's fun when you have one storyline. Honestly, I want to see more buzzer beaters than anything else. But I don't think it's bad to have tournaments where you have nothing but the big boys there. And I think it's going to continue. I don't think we're going to see a number one seed lose until the Final Four. I think we're going to have all chalk, All number one seeds in San Antonio down there. I think that top line is so much better than the rest of the field. So I think there's good – I mean, you have tournaments where San Diego State makes the title game and Florida Atlantic's in the Final Four, and that's fun, man. There's nothing wrong with that. It's also great to see some of these big boy matchups in the second week, and that's the beauty of March, is that you never I'm here for it, man. I'm an equal opportunity fan when it comes to college hoops. Give me whoever's playing the best. That's what I want in March.
All right, you listen to Houston Sports Leader. That's Rob Doster, Field of 68. If you're not following him, make sure you jump on board. Just get on Twitter, The Field of 68. Follow them. They're putting out content left and right, and just all you got to do is click and watch. Hey, I know our listeners out there, there's not a ton of them, as we've mentioned, today's game. U of H doesn't play tomorrow, but until tomorrow, but I know there's a ton of college basketball fans that are listening. There's a ton of degenerate gamblers out there that are listening right now. And run down these games with us real quick and just give us Rob Doster's take on each one of them. Let's start with that BYU-Alabama game, Rob.
Points, man, points. No one can slow down Alabama, and BYU is not the team that's going to try. They both shoot a ton of threes. This might be the most aesthetically pleasing game of basketball we get all season long. And I actually think BYU wins it because they got some physical dudes. They got some tough dudes. They got some football players that are playing basketball out there. And I think you need one or two of those to be able to win in college. I think, you know, they brought a guy in. He was an assistant coach with the Suns last year named Kevin Young. And it took him a while to figure out how much more physical college basketball is than the NBA. In the NBA, they have all these freedom of movement rules, and you can't, you know, chuck cutters, and you can't use your hands. And I think that once he figured out how to be able to run offense and what he needed to do to be able to play at the college level, that they kind of put this together. Richie Saunders, man, watch out for him. I think BYU beats Alabama.
All right, you like the over and BYU in that game, BYU in the points, huh? Maryland and Florida.
Florida, man. I just the matchup there to me screams the Gators. The way that Maryland wants to play, they got two big guys on the floor. Florida has two big guys on the floor. They play three guards. Florida has three guards. It's just that Florida's got two guys at every spot. Maryland has no depth. They play five. They try to get all five to play 40 minutes, and Florida's just got better players. Their point guard, Walter Clayton, is probably the best point guard in college basketball. It's dagger after dagger after dagger against my Huskies on Sunday. And the way that Maryland wants to play, they play drop coverage, and you can't play drop coverage and pick and rolls against Walter Clayton. He's gonna eviscerate it. So I think Florida wins. I think that one ends up being a blowout.
Better team, Florida. Bad matchup for Maryland as well. I can ride with that one. How about Arizona Duke?
The Caleb Love revenge game, man. Caleb Love ended Coach K's career. 3 years ago in the Final Four when he was at North Carolina. Now he has a chance to end Cooper Flagg's run in the tournament, to end John Shire's best shot to get into a Final Four yet. I think Caleb Love goes nuts, but I just can't see Arizona being able to hang with Duke. Might be close, but I don't see – I think Duke advances. I think Duke ends up winning this whole thing. I think Duke's the best team in the country.
Ooh, that's last but not least. What's the other one here? We got Arkansas. Sure. Of course. Of course. You got them Hogs and them Red Raiders, baby. 10-3. Calipari on the floor. What do you think, bud? Talk to me about these Hogs.
Well, I think the toughest part about this matchup is – that Texas Tech, what they do is they run ball screen after ball screen. They got this point guard named Elijah Hawkins. He's small. He wants to get a paint touch. He wants to spray it out. They got a bunch of shooters around him. JT Toppin is an All-American center. He's really good at rolling to the rim. He's really good at, like, pick and pop, catching threes. They run some smart actions on the weak side, which, you know, the thing about Arkansas, the reason they were able to beat St. John's the way they did is because St. John's tried to play bully ball against them, and you can't play bully ball against Arkansas. And that's not what Texas Tech does at all. So if Arkansas is going to win this, they got to be smart defensively. They got to be able to, you know, you need a good game plan from Cal on that end of the floor. And you know what, Clint, since I'm on with you, I think the Hogs get it done, baby. I think that they are advancing. We get Coach Cal in the Elite Eight. Cinderella Cal lives to fight another day. And I'll tell you what, I feel like this tournament is more fun with Cal going at everybody that has doubted him, going at everybody that is questioning him, myself included. And I like to see him get his get back, man. Cal is the underdog. Cal is the guy that has been wronged by people in the media. That is when he is at his absolute best. So I'm here for the ride.
Rob, in that game in particular, do you get a sense? I know he's just
– y'all hear that, baby? How about them all?
I heard him lead it off by saying, since I'm on with you. In that game, do you get the sense, and I know Tech doesn't do this, you get the sense they might zone Arkansas with how much they struggled? I know Bill Self turned the game around when they went to a zone against Kansas, and they struggled shooting against St. John. St. John just shot it just as bad as they did. Do you see Texas Tech potentially doing something like that in this game?
Yeah, I think it would be smart if they did it. You know, the thing about Arkansas is they don't run offense. You know, what they do is they put the ball in Boogie Flan's hands, they put the ball in DJ Wagner's hands, they give him a ball screen, and they say either find the matchup you like or get out of the way and let this guy go one-on-one. And there's something to that when you have guards that are able to penetrate and get paint touches. And the best way to kind of take that away is just throw a zone at him. Now, the guy here to watch for is a dude at the row, because I think he is probably the X factor if he's healthy and he's playing. Cal's been – you know, he's played a little coy. He said, we might have him. We might not have him. I think he's going to play. Maybe not. There's a little gamesmanship there. But if he's available, you got a 6'8", 240-pound offensive rebounding machine. And the thing about zones is you're not able to defend your own glass against the zone. If he's available, then that might be a little bit tougher for them to be able to go zone.
All right, Rob, kind of turning the page to tomorrow and what people are talking about around here is the Houston Cougars and Kelvin Sampson. And it's odd. Like, I personally think this may be the best team he has had in this run, but there are some nerves. Like, we've got some listeners who have some concerns about Houston and get nervous about this team. Do you think this is Kelvin's best opportunity to win a title?
I think that this is his best team heading into March. I think he's had more talent. He had a team a couple of years ago, had Jamal Shedd, NBA point guard, Marcus Sasser, NBA point guard, and Jairus Walker was a lottery pick. I would argue that team was probably more talented, but they were banged up in March. Last year, Jamal Shedd hurt his knee in the Sweet 16 against Duke, and they ended up losing that game. I think this is the year that they get to the Final Four, but I also argue that this is probably either the best or one of the best teams that he's had. But I don't think that they've been in a season where there have been two teams, maybe even three teams, better than them. That's how good Florida and Duke and even Auburn have been this year. The difference, though, is Milos Yuzan in the last 2 months has turned into an NBA-caliber point guard. Like, it took him a while. And I mean, you guys probably understand this. When you're a point guard and you walk into a system and a culture that is as defined as Houston's is, it's very hard to come in there and kind of take it over, right? When your job is to be the facilitator and to spread the ball around and to share the wealth, it's kind of hard in there to go in and sometimes have the best thing be a little selfish. And it took them a while to figure out, like, sometimes the best thing for Houston is for Milo Yuzan to go out there and do what's best for Milo Yuzan, if that makes sense. And once he figured out that he needed to be more aggressive and he needed to look for his own shot a little bit more and everybody else would be fine with that, that's when Houston took off. They've lost one game in regulation since the second game of the season. And that game could have gone to overtime. I think it was a one-possession game, and Houston had the ball with like 10 seconds left against Auburn. So they are in every single game. They've lost one game in all of Big 12 play. They're absolutely loaded, and it would not shock me if they cut down the nets on April 7th in San Antonio. I think that they roll over Purdue. Like, if you're nervous about this Purdue matchup, don't be. Purdue struggles against teams that are physical and athletic and force turnovers. And, like, that is everything that Houston has done for the last 6 years under Kelvin Sampson.
I'm with you. The Tennessee matchup could be a little bit more difficult. But the Purdue one, I'm with you. I think Houston rolls them tomorrow.
Yeah, I don't know what Braden Smith is going to do against that backcourt. Because, like, Braden is one of the best players in college basketball. Braden's also probably 5'10" and 165 pounds soaking wet. And you're going to throw L.J. Crier and then Milo Yuzan and then Malik Wilson and then Emmanuel Sharp and all of these guys that are, like, 6'3" and 225. Like, Houston, the Kelvin Sampson's basketball players, like, they're built like a football team. No, they don't look like guys. They don't miss a day in the weight room, let's put it like that. And then the crazy part is, I swear every single 6'8" dude with a 7'6" wingspan that plays hard as hell, that's who Kelvin Sampson finds. No one's ever heard of their name before they get to Houston, and they show up, and all of a sudden these guys look like absolute monsters. He just finds every junkyard dog that happens to have the wingspan of a pterodactyl, and they end up on that roster. I love that program, man. I love everything about it. I love Kelvin. He's not afraid to say exactly what he feels. I hope, and I really want, because I don't think people realize how good of a coach he is and how good of a culture setter he is. And if he's able to cut down some nets, whether that's get to a Final Four or win a national title, I think he deserves the recognition. I would love to see him win a title.
Hey, it's Gonzaga, not Gonzaga, by the way. That's Rob Dosterfield of 68. Likes, obviously, Houston over Purdue. He's already mentioned he likes the one seed, so I know you like Auburn over Michigan. Real quick, these other two games on that Friday slate, Ole Miss and Michigan State, where you at?
Give me Michigan State. You know, it's Tom Izzo. There's a reason they say January, February, Izzo, April, right? Like, this is, it feels like this is the perfect Tom Izzo team. They got a bunch of guys that aren't really pros, that are older. They go 10 deep, they rebound, they push the ball. This is a quintessential Tom Izzo team, and it just feels like they are they're destined to have something happen for them, man. I think Michigan State gets this done.
All right, Kentucky, Tennessee, and we're out, baby.
Give me the Wildcats. Big Blue Nation. They're going to win this. They're going to win it. I think that they've been one of the best defensive teams in college basketball the last 6 weeks, and that wasn't the case before. And I think they find a way to get this done. The sweep of Tennessee.
Hey, I tell you what, Rob, after joining y'all on Field of 68 the other day talking a little trash, that Kentucky Wildcat crew is rough, just if you even mention Calipari, man. I mean, damn. I don't know who Ryan Hill or something. I had to get after his ass a little bit on that Field of 68 today this morning when I woke
big
up.
Blue Nation, man. Don't play with
it. By the way, to remind Tyler that I want that bottle of tequila after Arkansas whoops that ass tonight. Post that video too now. Don't let that one slide.
Oh, trust me. We've been talking to him about that. We will not let him forget. Yee. We will not let him forget.
All right, brother. Hey, we appreciate you, man. Y'all enjoy and keep churning that content out, man. It's we all love it, obviously.
Hey, appreciate you guys. I just need Arkansas to keep winning, so Clint will keep texting me to come on the show.
That's come on, baby.
There we go. All right, Rob, we'll talk to you.
All right, fellas.
All right, that's Rob Doster. Field of 68, seriously, they put in work, man. I looked over the other night. It was 1 o'clock in the morning last week. They're still going. They're still rolling. Great, great info for the tournament and a good spot to go. All right, coming up is we will update you as it has started at Daikin Park as the Astros are taking on the Mets. We'll get you updated on that and kind of move this thing towards the draft with the Texans.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Coming up next. All right, the Astros are started here at Daikin Park and they are in a 0-0 game as Framber got into a little bit of trouble in the first inning, and the ball found left center field, but that sucker didn't find Altuve. Altuve went and found the ball,
yep,
is what happened there. Someone texted in, Altuve with a good catch. Good thing he caught that puppy. Yeah. I saw Jake, the center fielder, who clearly has it if he's calling it. And Jake is screaming it down. And Altuve just cuts in front of him last second and catches the ball.
Luckily, Altuve's got a little higher catch point than Jake. That would have been a collision.
Yes.
They go about it a little different, don't they?
I thought they were going to run into each other, man. I said, oh my God, no. I thought they were going to run into each other. But hey. Right now, man, it ain't about pretty, baby. It's about however that ball and out is recorded, and they can pull that off. So 0-0 after one, and Christian Walker had a nice good swing, hit it right to the shortstop. So 0-0, the Astros as they're taking on the New York Mets, and we will keep you updated on that. As we continue here, Altuve, boy, that's going to be fun all year long. We'll watch that or at least however long that hangs on. All right, Clint, the Texans, as we get closer and closer to the draft, and hell, April's coming up, so that means that's really, really close, right about being right up on that. Now that we've kind of seen how this offseason has gone, right, they've made a lot of moves at the tackle position. A lot of moves at the O-line position. They've added a couple of veteran guards. Not sure if they're starting caliber, but veteran guards in Tomlinson and Ingram. They've added Christian Kirk. They had maybe some issues at the safety position. They added Gardner Johnson at the safety position. They have done some things. Justin Watson, receiver position as well. Now that we've kind of seen how the free agent portion of it up to this point has shook out for the Texans, now we get to the draft. Where do you want the Texans to go now? Well, where is it?
This is easy for me. I look at it, and I'm going to preface this by saying I think they go get a guard or a center or somebody that can do both in free agency. Like they're not done there yet. So with that being said, it's very, very easy for me to say I want the Texans. Let's talk about their first two picks, right? I want the Texans to go speed big time, right? With one of those picks, whether it's wide receiver or running back, go speed, speed, speed. You got to add speed to this this starting lineup. Or maybe not starting lineup because obviously if it ends up being a tailback, it would be a third down back. It would be a package back, not somebody that takes priority over Joe Mixon. But that speed is what I'm talking about. Whether it's a first, second, or third round pick, somewhere in that range, we need two of those three to be speed. The other place, interior defensive line. I would like to see the Texans add somebody that has a high ceiling potentially in a plug and play, heavy rotational position that the spot where you draft them, you could potentially draft an absolute game changer, a monster, a guy that just changes the makeup of that defensive line immediately. So I would go one of the speed positions, if not both, in the first three rounds, wide receiver, scat back, add speed offensively into the middle of the defensive line, get you a dog that may be a game changer.
You know how I felt the whole way is I did not want them, especially at 25 where they are, to draft an offensive lineman and expect a rookie to come right in. Not to say rookies can't play. I just felt from the jump how dire the situation was to get a not just a veteran, but a good veteran, a good player that you don't have to worry about at least. But now, Clint, I feel like they've backed themselves into a corner that they may have to do that, right? Like I feel much better about Titus Howard at a guard if it's opposite, like somewhat better than or potentially better than Laken Tomlinson, right? Like or whatever it is, or even Juice playing at that spot. I would not love both of those spots being guys that one is a center and one is a drafted center and one is a drafted right tackle, right? That was what your plans were. So, but I feel like they backed themselves into a spot where I feel like they may have to take one.
They may have to.
Like they may have to take one because, I don't know, maybe they're still talking with guys like Brandon Sheriff, but it feels like they may, maybe that kind of stuff would have been done by now.
Right? Gotta like be. They gotta be talking. It just, I cannot let myself think that they're done. I cannot let myself think that they are going
done
to
free
risk
agency wise.
Yes,
like,
yes.
You don't believe the thought is, all right, man, maybe we really like Tyler Booker. There's somebody in that second round that we can get.
D'Amico can't do it. I could see where the scouting department, Nick Caserio, may think that, but D'Amico can't let it happen. We watched that approach with Juice Scruggs. Didn't work. We watched that approach with Kenyon Green. Absolute failure, right? It is hard. It is hard. And first of all, you'll have to wait. You'll have to use your first or second round pick on that guard, first of all, because that's a caliber player we're talking about. Secondly, you would have to do what Nick Caserio hasn't done in Houston, which is pick an offensive lineman that can play immediately. And that just scares the hell out of me.
That's a big reason why I didn't want it to have to come down to this. But it feels like in a dream scenario, it is go get a speed outside threat. Like, to me, that would be the thing that I was hoping they would put themselves in the position to do that. But, Clint, I they're backed into it right now, right? Yeah. Like, their starting guards right now are either Juice Scruggs and Titus Howard or Tomlinson and Howard, like one of those. Like, those are their guards. I feel like they've backed themselves into this point.
They have, but they still got a little bit of money. There's several interior offensive linemen out there that I would get stoked about. Will Hernandez, Dalton Reisner. I'd even like the old head, Brandon Scherff, you talked about. I think some of those guys possess some of the approaches to the game, approaches to offensive line stylistically that DeMeco would like. So I'm still holding out hope that that happens.
Yeah, I hope so. Speed would be the hope for me. Like if they did do something to help the interior three, then to me it would be like go aggressively attack speed. And I'm talking like from a wide receiver position.
Yep.
Preferably at 25, go attack speed. That to me is, I was hoping, if I'm a Texans fan, hoping that the Texans would put themselves in a position where they can really attack that. And I think they are close to it, but guard is the only thing. I think they've done well enough to at least add a second spot person in Christian Kirk at the receiver spot. They've added to the secondary. Now it's obviously the tackle position, but now obviously the interior, they've got to do something there. But speed would be the big thing. All right, coming up, as we'll continue, keep you updated on opening day. You ain't got to go nowhere. We'll let you know what's going on here. And little turds list. Yes, Tyler is out, but don't worry. We will continue the tradition of the turds list. That's coming up now.
Pro athletes are sometimes a lot to handle.
We're just not good enough.
Maybe even a bit dramatic.
Altuve stole an MVP from Judge.
Turdish behavior will not be ignored. No one is safe.
I'm not going to let it take my joy.
It's Tyler's Turds of the Week on The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back into The Drive. As we do, we will get to Tyler's turd list in just a bit. Cam Smith came up for the first time. As Jeremy Pena in the sixth spot got hit with a pitch from Clay Holmes. And then I know it got you going, Clint, as he goes oppo, goes the other way. First pitch you would think, first at bat, a lot of nerves. I'm about to try to swing out of my shoes and kill it. But no, he goes opposite field. And then Pena with his speed goes first to third, and they got it set up to try to take an early lead.
Yes, sir. Pushed the outside pitch that down the between the first and second base hole right there. Let the runner go from first to third. Beautiful, beautiful young fella.
He continues to stay hot. Yeah, one for one.
There
in the
you
big
go.
League.
Beautiful.
Here it is. Brandon Rogers is up, trying to help the Astros take a lead. We will keep you updated on that. Before we get to third list, want to also make sure you are. You're aware of this. We're proud partners with the Texans Children's Houston Opening happening at Memorial Park Golf Course this weekend. Roy McIlroy, guys like that, Scotty Scheffler and others from the PGA Tours will be there this weekend. They're there actually right now playing through Sunday. And for updates, tee times, weather notes, and any ticket information, head to TCHOUopen.com now. All right, Tyler's turd list. Let's do this right now. Let's start with the bronze medal. And like we said, we will keep you updated here on the Astros and the Mets. But let's start with the bronze medal. And Clint, the bronze medal for me goes to Vegas. Las Vegas. The people setting the lines in Vegas. So, Clint, as you know, the New York Giants a couple of days ago inked a deal and signed Russell Wilson to be their starting quarterback. Before that, they had Tommy DeVito and Jameis Winston in the building. You know what their win total was?
I would imagine it's low, but give it to me.
Prior to Russell Wilson arriving, it was 3.5 wins, which is really low. Usually the low end is 5, but they go 3.5 wins. By the way, the Astros got the bases loaded. We'll keep you updated.
Well, you know, he's coming
that.
Up.
That's right. Big Jake's up. Time for Jake to make a
Here's
make
you
a,
an opportunity, Jakers.
He won't hit into a double play. All right, 3.5 wins. It was 3.5 wins prior to Russell Wilson becoming their quarterback. Guess what it is post-Russell Wilson becoming the quarterback?
5.5.
3.5 wins.
Didn't budge.
Didn't move. Not one. You got to be kidding me, Vegas. That's, come on. Like, they were sitting there with Jameis and Tommy DeVito. Like, I'm not saying Russ. That's what I've naturally thought.
I think Jameis gives him a chance to win more than 3.5. Russ damn sure does. I don't know. That division's a monster.
It's a monster, but they also are working with a last-place schedule.
Fair. We've seen that.
I would just, like, you know, Russ is 14-13 the last 2 years. I would have thought, like you, that thing goes up.
I'd have gave it a couple games.
I would give it 5.5. But, no, Vegas keeps it the same. That's it. Come on, dog. Yeah. All right, there's the speed of Jake Meyers, who hits it right to the shortstop. But he beats it out. The Astros lead 1-0 on a near double play. But Jake Meyers got down the line, and was able to beat it out. 1-0 Astros, runners on the corners with Jose Altuve coming up. So they do get a lead here early. But that is the bronze medal. For the silver, the Red Sox front office. The Boston Red Sox and their front office, how they have handled this Rafael Devers and Alex Bregman situation is out of control. Red Sox manager Alex Cora, who Houston knows well, talking about the DH position, he says Devers was very, very vocal about how he felt, and we made a decision. Alex is going to play third, and Rafi is going to DH. We're all in the winning business. And he went on to say, Devers understands that. This, Clint, is I just think the way they handled this from the get-go, you talked about it a little bit yesterday, the lack of communication. Like, it is, I believe, in a probably frustrating part, in a bad spot right now for the Red Sox, and it shouldn't have had to have gotten. And I think it's messed up. That the Red Sox front office didn't become more transparent with Rafael Devers and the rest of the team.
Yeah, this is what losing dysfunctional organizations do. Now, I don't know that I'd couch the Red Sox as that typically, but this is what dysfunctional losing organizations do to their players, right? I mean, there's no doubt that the right decision was made. You got the best defensive third baseman out there.
You won the Gold Glove last year.
Yeah, I mean, the right decision ended up being made. So it's not about the final result. It's about the way that you went about this thing. I don't know if Rafael Devers is a loose cannon. He just went out there after being talked to and said, no, I ain't DHing. I don't give a damn that I've already been talked to, and I don't care what y'all think. Like unless he just loose cannoned this thing and went out there and went rogue.
I don't think that's the case. It doesn't seem like it's the case.
Right. Doesn't seem like it was communicated. This is what losers do. I mean, you'd like to not even put yourself in a position of signing two guys like that could fill one void, that are both two of your best players. But when you get in that situation, you got to communicate it, and it clearly wasn't communicated. It wasn't communicated effectively, and then it was handled poorly by all the players. Whether it was communicated or not, you shouldn't speak as aggressively as they did on the decisions like who's going to start at third base and who's going to DH. You shouldn't do it anyway. Yeah. You shouldn't do that anyway. But we're here, and like I said, it's got the makings of being some serious drama up in Boston.
Yep. And we'll see how that lands. But clearly, as you said, and it's odd because the Red Sox, however you feel about them, they have been over the last however many years, been a pretty good organization.
Yeah.
That usually doesn't make decisions like this. We'll see what this means for him, but this they potentially are putting themselves in a situation where two of their best players, their two highest paid players, potentially have issues, or at least one of them does. I think Alex Bregman probably. All right, that's the silver. Again, we're doing Tyler's turd list, even though he is out at the game. 1-0 Astros after two, even though he's out at the game. We're still going to do his turn. All right, the gold medal. I don't know how often Tyler hands out a gold medal that has multiples, but I am going to do it today. And the gold medal for the turd list, to me, Clint, goes to both LeBron James and Stephen A. Smith.
Oh, you both of them double dip, huh?
Yeah. They get both of them. Tyler's going to have to make a replica of two of them. And listen, anybody who listens to this show knows how I feel about LeBron. But this is this is great for us and what we're watching, but it is, I mean, it's becoming stupid. We're damn near reaching almost Drake and Kendrick Lamar elements here where we're going here. And I mean, it yesterday where we went from LeBron going on Pat McAfee, I thought it was messed up kind of how he handled the Brian Windhorst situation. And he said that Stephen A was on his Taylor Swift tour going right now, talking about this incident with him and LeBron. I just think he did a whole bunch of things yesterday. And then Stephen A. Smith goes on his show and follows it up and then starts talking about, had he put his hands on me, I would have swung on him. And he went on talking about how he doesn't like him and how he's a liar. That man's a liar, yeah. And all this and that. And then LeBron, after the game last night, at the game winner he hit last night, and he played terrible last night too. But after the game winner last night, coming off of hearing him talk about if LeBron would have put his hands on me, I would have swung on him. He then plays that old embarrassing video of Stephen A.
And then boxing lessons.
And those boxing lessons. And by the way, everybody looks at how embarrassing the boxing lessons are. Where the hell is he? I mean, he's at one of those places that has the sliding doors and the old blinds, the floor, the ceiling blinds that you could turn. Like, where the hell was it?
He done got somebody to come up to one of vacant office in the ESPN headquarters and give him some lessons or something. Oh, man, hell, he had slacks on. Looked like he had slacks and a white beater on.
But anyway, he pulls that out. And then today, if you missed it on First Take, he finished off a 17-minute promo, basically, that he cut on LeBron by saying, I was here before you started in this league in 2003. And if you didn't know, I signed a contract. And I'm going to be here long after you are finished playing. So you got to deal with me for a long, long time. That's how Stephen A. today. Both of them. This is just silliness. This is silliness. Of course, it's entertaining and everything. But this is silliness. Like, I almost think I heard Amin Al-Hassan earlier today say this, and I almost agree. Like, Adam Silver, this may cause him to maybe have to reach out to both of these dudes. One, the number one player in his sport. The other being the guy who works for the flagship station that covers their finals. He might need to step in and say, hey, man, chill this out. This is stupid. This is getting dumb.
Well, look, I mean, I think from a distance, here's the deal. If you're a sports fan, you can't help but see this. Every show you turn on, it's on now. Every podcast, every radio show, every TV show, it's being talked about. And this is, to me, as I see it, again, I haven't studied it, but as I see it, LeBron is still in a really good space of just like, hey, man, what the hell, man? What's this guy up to? I'm almost like poking fun. Minimizing, and Stephen A's gotten to a point where multiple times now you can tell it is a real thorn in his side, and he is upset about it. And it's one of those where once you dig in like Stephen A has dug in, like, how do you get out? You know what I mean? Like,
you just got to let it go.
Well, but at this point you can't. Like, at this point, to me, you're dug in. You said too much. You've gone on all these other podcasts. Like, he can let it go all he wants, but everybody else isn't. Like, you've already made multiple stories and headlines about it.
Well, not today. Now, like, I thought LeBron may not respond, but now he's come out with some stuff today on First Take talking about. There's a lot of things I could have brought up that I haven't brought up.
You're talking about Stephen A.
Stephen A.
Yeah, it's just getting worse. That's what I'm talking about. It's getting worse.
Accusing him of not attending to Kobe's
bunch of personal stuff.
And then saying, hey, Dwayne Wade was your guy. You didn't go to his.
All the stuff, I'll be honest with you, all the stuff that would make me respect Stephen A. even more, who, by the way, in the media game, there's not many that I respect more in terms of how they go about their business. I'm a big fan of Stephen A., the media guy. Don't agree with a lot of what he says. Don't like all the screaming and yelling, the debate aspect of it. But Stephen A. is the real deal. Like, one reason is because I know he knows stuff like that. Like, he knows about LeBron, about a million players out there, and he has the ability to be the highest paid guy, be extremely valuable, you know, just get everybody to want to listen. Not using those, and now here he is in a situation, and it's like he's drumming that stuff up. And it's not a good look. I don't think it's a good look. So we'll see how does it end? How do they make this go away?
Now I think it got so personal again. I think LeBron may respond again.
Yes. Gotten so personal to me where I don't know how Stephen A. does his job on a consistent basis covering the whole NBA, but the Lakers without crossing paths, without communicating, without being in the same building, how do you do all that?
He went on national TV and said, "I don't like you."
You're right. Like, so how do you
be objective calling?
Like, there's no ending this other than, and this may be their intention all along, maybe, I don't know. There's no ending this without those two sitting down on somebody's podcast. Yeah.
Or how about this? Why don't you
behind
just sit
closed
down
doors.
Behind closed doors?
right.
How about you?
Yeah.
What you got coming up at the four?
Well, the Astros are rocking and rolling. We got some good going on. They're up 1-0 in the third, top of the third. Got some good going on. But there's a couple of guys that I think many folks expected to be in this starting lineup, at least one of the two, right? And I'm not sure which one has more reason to be extremely frustrated at what's going on right here with these Astros. Mauricio Dubon or Chaz McCormick? We'll talk about that next right here on Sports Radio 16.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.